Here we are at June the 19th, 2022. And I want us today to start thinking hard about God's care, God's provision, God's loving provision and care in our lives. And I quote from today's psalm, which is Psalm 42, starting at verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you. Gracious Lord, let your Holy Spirit, who you promised would bring to remembrance all that you have said, fill our hearts and minds and understanding and my mouth, that we will be reminded of all of your provision and care, and may we know it and trust it and rejoice in it. Amen. It is obvious in our psalm that the psalmist is having a really hard time. Everything seems to be against him. People mock him. They say, "Where is your God?" Worry and anxiety form a roar of background static that draws out that still small voice of faith in God. And so he says, "Well, this is not right. I will remember all that God has done for me in the past. Has he now left me? No." We all know of this anxiety, an anxiety so great that it becomes full-blown despair, and we, like the psalmist, need to remember. We need to remember who God is, his promises, and what he has done for us in the past. The Apostle Peter sums it up in his first epistle in chapter 5. He says, "Cast all your anxiety on God because he cares for you." I once heard a great preacher refer to this verse and describe worry and anxiety as the peculiarly Christian sin. Our God is with us. Our God is within us. Our God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And best of all, our Heavenly Father adopts us as his sons and daughters. So when things get tough, Christians need to remember who their God is, what their relationship to him is, and his great and precious promises to us. And all of those are summed up in the words from the Lord Christ, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." God sees everything. He knows everything and is always with us. But we know full well that worry and anxiety are like those noxious weeds, the thorns and the thistles that life throw up in our lives that choke our spiritual growth, just as Jesus describes in the parable of the sower. By way of aside, let me exhort you this week to spend time going over and praying over the parable of the sower, asking God to identify in your own life the areas which need attention, the areas in the garden of your obedience that choke off and restrict the life of God within you. Spend time this week in Matthew chapter 13. We need to remember that for the disciple of Christ, God is always present, but he's only through the eyes of faith. And worry, of course, fear, so quickly obscures our vision and drowns out the promise of God. In the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah was pursued by the king of Assyria. And in 2 Kings 6, starting at verse 13, we read this. The king orders, "Go and find out where he is, so I can send men and capture him." Well, the report came back. He is in Dothan. And then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open the eyes of him so that he may see." And he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so may God open our eyes that we may also see with the eyes of true faith. The Lord Jesus exhorts us, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." It's such a pity that we only really trot those verses out from John 14 at funerals. No, these are verses for life. We are commanded to look steadfastly at Jesus. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." We are commanded to look steadfastly at him, who is the ground that we walk on. And what does he tell us? He tells us that our Heavenly Father sees all, that he is indeed our Father who art in heaven, who knows our need of food and drink and clothing, and will provide all that we need. He reminds us, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground." Now, that does not mean the sparrow dies. It means that God sees the sparrow hopping around on the ground. Even that God sees. "Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." I have been reading to you from Matthew 10, starting at verse 29. He tells us that when we build the house of our life, we should build on rock, because then nothing can shake it. Well, how do we build on rock? Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them." Mark that. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Of course, in the Bible, rock is frequently used as an image for God. It is steadfast. It is immovable. It is constant. What is the key here? To hear Christ's words and obey them. Is it not true that every Sunday we hear a great deal of Scripture, but how much of it will we obey? We would do very well each Sunday when we hear the scripture lessons read to pray, "Lord, help me to both hear and obey." Now, understand that all of this takes time to learn and grasp. I have been a Christian for almost 6 decades, and I am still growing in understanding and obedience. Think of Jesus' disciples. Think of the miracles they saw firsthand and the teaching they heard. And yet, well, do you remember this incident from Mark chapter 4? That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and was completely calm. And then he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Think of all that they had seen, and still they don't grasp it. So let us also pray, "Lord, open our eyes that we may see not just the power of the storms in our lives, but also the God who controls the storms." On another occasion, in Luke 17, the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." Size has nothing to do with faith. What counts is who your faith is in and how well you know him. When your faith is in God, how much faith do you have? An infinite, infinite amount. I have discovered that the more each day that I draw near to and seek the face of the Lord Jesus, the more able and steadfast my faith is. How often we find ourselves unhappy, dissatisfied with what life has given us. We look at other people around us, and we look at all that they have, and houses, cars, possessions, privileges, and we are dissatisfied. We are unhappy. Now, of course, what we really mean by this is we are unhappy and dissatisfied because we think God has shortchanged us. We lack this. We lack that. Woe, woe is me. Here we are this Sunday, which actually is also Father's Day. So think, would a good father knowingly withhold from his child that which is good? No, of course not. And Jesus says, "You have a Father, Almighty God, a heavenly Father, a perfect Father." How then could we think that he would withhold from us that which is good for us? So when we find ourselves feeling deprived, envious of others, less well off, somehow just not favored, we should realize that it is because we do not know the Lord Christ as we should. And we should make more effort to know him better, because he deprives us of nothing. He is giving us exactly what we need. Scripture promises us that God will provide for all of our needs. Needs, mark you, not our wants. Alas, my wants always outstrip my real needs, and I need then the power of God's Spirit to educate me and lead me to more holiness. God grant us wisdom to know the difference between needs and wants and be satisfied. Let's consider for a moment adverse circumstances, pain, suffering, the storms of life, death. All of them will come. And this is why the Lord Jesus tells us to build our life on him, the rock of ages, so that when those storms come, we will stand and not be swept away. He says through Peter, his apostle, cast all your anxiety on God, for he cares for you. Let me finish by reading you this promise of care that is so wonderful because it addresses even the most extreme circumstances of our lives. It could not get any more pressing and worse than this, and yet God is with us. Paul writes in Romans 8, starting at 31, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." It's as if he's talking to somebody who is saying, "Yeah, but has Jesus forgiven everything? Are all my sins covered? Is all of my life covered?" And Paul says, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Dear people, the Lord Christ prayed for you today. Before you knew anything of today, he prayed for you today. Do you think God does not hear his prayers? And Paul goes on, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or hardship or persecution or danger or sword?" No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why so disturbed within you? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. May the Lord Jesus send us his Holy Spirit, and may we remember all who God is, all that God has done, all that God will do for us, and not be afraid. We are on the rock, steadfast, immovable, eternal, loving. May we know this. Amen.